from next week on, we're going to be unpacking the book of Ephesians. Our sermon series is going to be called United, how we can be united with one God as one church in this place. And that'll take us, a week or two. But in between then and now, I want just to pick up on some of the stuff that I think we need to be putting into place in our Christian lives. And kind of slightly unapologetically, this is a bit of a word about picking some stuff up and doing stuff. You know, my Christian life when I was a young lad, the sermons were always about doing something. And that's not what Christian life's about. It's about being, isn't it? But there is a call still for all of us to pick up some things and some do some stuff. I have decided. What did you decide this morning? What did you decide to come to church? That's good. Some people decided not to. Text them later. You decided what you were going to eat or what you weren't going to eat. Decided what you're going to wear. Some of you are judging me now going, I wouldn't have decided on that. We make about 35,000 decisions in a day. Well, think about that for a second. If you live in the Northern Hemisphere, if you live in the First World, if you live in the two-thirds world, you make less because you've got less choice about what you eat or what you put on. But we, in the First World, we've got 35,000 decisions. If you think about that, even if you stick a bit of sleep in that place, in that day, you're making a decision every couple of seconds. Some of you right now are deciding, shall I listen, shall I not? Some of you are thinking, could I get Facebook on my phone without anybody noticing? Some of you have already got Facebook on your phone. Decide now, turn it off. We're making decisions all the time. And there is this call all the way through Scripture to say, I have decided I want to follow Jesus. Paul's story is incredible. There's more to it, and you ask him over coffee. He decided he would phone Terry. Who else are you going to turn to? Who are you going to call? Because Ghostbusters, they're fictional. But the men and women of God, they're real. And we bring power wherever we go into those situations. I think when Paul first told Terry, he thought he might go, oh, you're a nutter. But if you spend any time in the pastorate, as Terry's done, and as I've done, you go, yeah, seen that, been there, done that, yes, we'll come, Jesus is powerful. Because the enemy is real. And we need to decide who you're going to call. When you're sick, who you're going to get to pray for you? When you're struggling, who you're going to tell? Are you going to do the Western British thing and keep it inside? Or are you going to go, I'm going to decide to get the army of God on my case? Because look what happens when you do. Absolutely fantastic stuff. You can count how many times I say fantastic today. I have decided to stop using that adjective, but I'm not doing very well. You're going to notice that now, aren't you? Let's read Acts. We're going to read Acts 2. So we've traveled 49, 50 days since Passover. So last week was Passover. Do you remember that? Yeah, so last week was Passover. Jesus is alive. He is still alive. I'm glad to see you came back the week after Easter Sunday. Jesus is still alive. And this is Pentecost. So we've gone from Passover to Pentecost, from one Jewish feast to another. And this is halfway through Peter's sermon to the gathered people in the temple. So the followers of Jesus have just had this incredible encounter with the Holy Spirit. They have seen the Spirit, not just felt him, they've seen tongues like fire. They have started to speak in different tongues. They have just gone, wow! And they have burst out into the temple. And the people around them have seen this and they have heard this. And this is an incredible miracle. Peter starts to preach and people listen. You go and listen to the street preachers in Liverpool, nobody listens. As you walk past him as a Christian thinking, oh, I hope he doesn't pick on me. But Peter starts to preach and the people listen. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Oh, that's good, isn't it? Impossible for death to keep his hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Whew! It's good that, isn't it? I'd have liked to have been there, wouldn't you? I mean, what an amazing thing. This is Pentecost. It is the Feast of Weeks, the Jews call it. It's a Passover second, what's the word? Part two. It is this idea of, well, part of it is harvest, so we're given thanks for the harvest, but also they are expecting God. It's a time of hope and of joy. We said last week we should ditch Easter and go for Passover. Well, Pentecost, it's a Christian festival, but it's a Jewish festival first. It is this place of God being with us, of God speaking. They celebrate the word of God being given in Exodus, that the Torah is given. And it's like, this is what we're celebrating, that God is speaking. It's no coincidence that it's on that day that the disciples are full of the Holy Spirit and they come out, because God is speaking. We have a God who speaks, don't we? That's one of the reasons I'm a Christian. We have a God who speaks. He speaks to us daily, sometimes audibly, sometimes in the word that we're reading, but we have a God who speaks. I have decided. Peter calls the people to decide to follow Jesus, but he uses this really unusual phrase. I don't know whether you picked it up, but he says, you need to follow this Jesus. Like there's an option. Like there's another Jesus on offer. Well, just spend 5 minutes on the internet and you'll discover there is another Jesus on offer. The Jesus that says, just live how you like and I'll bless you. The Jesus who says, I agree with everything you think is good. The Jesus who you can mold somehow into your philosophy and your theology and your worldview. And somehow he's going, yes, great, do whatever you want. Not that Jesus. We talked a little bit about Barabbas on Good Friday. Barabbas, Bar, Abbas, son of the Father. Jesus, the son of the Father. Jesus Christ dies for the sons and daughters of the Father. But a lot of scholars think Barabbas' first name was Jesus. Ooh, look at that. And Peter's been very specific here. His name is, we don't get many Jesuses now, do we? Not in white countries. Hispanic countries, you get a few Yesus, Jesus, Jesuses. If you've got Jesus on your side, you're going to win. Which Jesus? this Jesus, Peter says, this Jesus, the Jesus who was crucified for your sin, this Jesus, the Jesus who was raised to life on the third day, this Jesus who was both the descendant and the Lord of David, this Jesus who gives us Holy Spirit, this Jesus who performed many signs and wonders, this Jesus who equips his people to do the same. Which Jesus are you following? Is it this Jesus, the one who has got power? Is it this Jesus, the one who speaks to you? Not the Jesus who says, I'll do what you want, but the Jesus who says, will you follow me? And when you say yes, he expects you to follow him. He expects you to follow him. I have decided to follow Jesus. It's a great line, that I have decided to follow Jesus. I was singing that song all week, and I was very disappointed the worship team didn't pick up on it, you know. No turning back. No. It's in your heads now, though, isn't it? I have decided to follow Jesus. It is a daily decision. I lied to 75% of you this morning. I must apologize, but I did, because you asked me how I am. And I've said to almost all of you, I'm great. But I'm not great. I don't feel very well. I'm not feeling very well for a few days. But I have decided to follow Jesus. And I have decided I was going to be here this morning and bring the word that God has given me. I'm not dying. I'm just, you know, got a bit allergy. Of course, I've shut all your hands and kissed you. So, so anyway, the power of Jesus over you this morning. I have decided to follow him. I don't know if you saw Emma Thompson, who flew back from America to take part in the Extinction Rebellion stuff. And she got a bit of stick for it. But she has decided that she wants to do something about our planet, which is falling apart. Every day there are marches going on in the great cities of this nation. Every day there's something going on in London. In fact, Radio 2 have stopped telling you what the march is about. They just say, and there's a demonstration in Whitehall. Because there's somebody, I mean, I want to join them. Anybody else felt that? Is it just me? I'm watching it going, oh, come on, I want to go on a march. Who is it I can join? Let's go and march. Let's go and join in. Let's decide to do something. We're seeing a generation of activists. And we have been called as followers of Jesus to be the greatest activists of all time. This is 2,000 years on from Peter's speech. But he's saying, will you decide to follow this Jesus? I have decided to follow him. When I was a kid, I grew up with this idea that you became a Christian by praying a prayer. Have you heard that? You become a Christian by praying a prayer. You say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Will you come into my life and forgive me? And that was kind of the prayer. And lots of you in this room have prayed that prayer. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. That's a good thing. But actually, as I've grown older, and as I've met Christians from other walks of life, and as I've talked to some of you cannot remember ever not being a Christian. True? You can't remember. You were brought up in Christian family. You heard the word. You went on with it. You kept going. You kept going. You kept going. Fantastic. Oh, there it is. What a brilliant thing. You know, that is the greatest miracle. Sometimes you hear people who tell a story, sex, drugs, and rock and roll came to Jesus, boom, amazing, and you think, oh, I wish I had one of them. Why do you want that sort of pain in your life? Why do you want those lost years? I mean, I've got years, 5, 6 lost years of disaster, bad relationships, bad hangovers, days worth of them sometimes. Why would you want that? The greatest miracle are those who've wandered through life with Jesus and he's kept them. Yes? Some of you don't seem convinced. Yes? See, the thing is, we're all different. We are all different. And if you've met Jesus today, praise God. And if you've met him in utero, praise God. If you've wandered through that path, brilliant. And if you're just slowly, step by step, engaging with him, brilliant. There is not one size fits all. In the book of Acts, this is written large in the book of Acts. People meet Jesus and they meet him differently. All of them have different encounters. All of them at some point believe in this Jesus. If you're struggling with the resurrection, you have to ask yourself, are you a Christian? Because without the resurrection, You are to be pitied more than all people. That's what the Bible says. But if you can get over that hurdle, we heard this morning, sometimes we have doubt. Doubt's allowed, you know. You're allowed to doubt. You're allowed to struggle. You're allowed to wrestle. That doesn't disqualify belief. Sometimes we need to just go, I'm just going to believe. I have to believe. Because if there is no resurrection, if there is no Jesus, then we are just purposeless atoms. They're going to have much more fun than this. And let's not care about those who get killed in bombings because they are not important, because they are just purposeless atoms. But if they're not, then we should care, right? So in the book of Acts, we get this picture of people who follow Jesus and they all believe. They all repent. It's a great word, that, isn't it? Repent. It's really, really important for Christians to get hold of this idea. And it's not a one-off. Belief is not a one-off. It's for you today. I need to decide to believe today. And I need to decide to repent today. And repentance is not just being sorry. There's a big chunk of that. I'm sorry, Lord, that I've lived like I'm king of the world. I want you to be Lord of my life. There is a big chunk of sorry. But the massive idea of repentance is to change direction. We'd lived in Liverpool 3 months, and Jack, at 11, had a swimming gala in Everton. And so we followed the sat-nav because we hadn't lived here very long. And as we're going into the Kingsway Tunnel, there's a couple of things going on. A little bit of tension, possibly, between Ange and I, you know. Where are you going? I don't know. Make a U-turn. I can't make a U-turn. I'm in a tunnel. Honestly, it is the most stressful thing. You get to the barrier, and I become as Geordie as possible. I have not lived in Newcastle at that point for 4, 5, 6 years. Why, man, missus? Like, you know. I didn't want to come through here. She was really kind. Go and do a U-turn. Go up to the roundabout, come back down, and we'll let you through. That's repentance. I'm going the wrong way. I'm going the wrong way. There is an opportunity for you this morning to change direction. Might take a bit of humility. I believe this. It was wrong. I'm really sorry. I've said this. It was wrong. I'm really sorry. I need to change direction. Every story in the New Testament, every story of the people in this room, this is the story. I will believe. I will repent. I will get baptized. Some of you have been putting this off. You've been putting baptism off, and you need to stop. You need to decide today. I have decided. Look what Peter does. He brings this massive word to all these people, and they believe, and immediately they are baptized. That might be quite surprising to you. 3,000. Imagine that. How did they organize that? Did Peter do them all? Probably not. Who's baptizing these people? Where did they find the water? Well, baptism was a part of the Jewish faith. It's not something Christians invented. In fact, nothing we've got is something we've invented. We're just Jews with more foreskin.
Did I say that out loud? Yeah.
Romans 10, we are Jews of the heart. We are circumcised in the heart. Well, you know, we are the people who should be so thankful to that incredible heritage that isn't ours, and yet we're grafted into it. We're grafted into it. There was baptismal pools. We went to Jerusalem a couple of years ago. You can go to some of the posh people's houses, you know, kind of on the hill in Jerusalem, and most of them have got pools in their houses. Imagine that. You're feeling a bit, you know, I haven't done very well. I've said something bad in a sermon, you know, that sort of thing. I better just go and dip in the pool and get baptized again. I'm not encouraging you all to go and get baptized again. But if you are a follower of Jesus, believe and be. Or is it believe and put it off for a few years? Just in case you do something dodgy. Constantine, the Christian emperor, inverted commas, he wasn't a good guy really. But he did not get baptized until his deathbed. Because he was just worried in case, you know, just in case he did something bad. Don't do that. If you are a follower of Jesus, decide, I need to decide to do this. Believe, repent, baptism, and be baptized in the Spirit. All these things go together. To be baptized in the Spirit, to encounter the Holy Spirit. There's something for you today. It's not wacky, it's not mental. This is this powerful encounter with God that allows Peter and the 120, or how many there was of them, to burst out going, wow, look what has happened to us. Look what God has done. It's not about you, it's about God. This is about an encounter with Jesus. The early church worshipped Jesus because Jesus gives the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. And only God can give us Holy Spirit. So that means Jesus must be amazing. Absolutely amazing. This is for you and those who are far off. I love that. For you and those who are far off. What are you going to decide this morning? To believe, to repent, to be baptized. It's a daily thing. It's a daily thing. I have decided. I have decided to follow Jesus in everything he says. I have decided to devote myself. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, Acts says. What are the apostles teaching? Well, they're teaching the Old Testament. Because this is AD 33, AD 34, something like that. They're teaching the Old Testament. They're teaching that what becomes the New Testament is what they are teaching. This is how we live as followers of Jesus. This is what we must be doing. This is what marks you out as a follower of Jesus. Not being incredible in Acts 2. There's no mention of what we are against. Have you noticed that? And for so often, Christians, we get this bad rep, don't we? You're just against stuff. But actually, in Acts 2, there is this call to be a people. To be a people. To follow the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. To put this into place in our lives. We live in a culture that just says, do what you want as long as you're happy. And I've tried that. I did what I wanted, and I was miserable. I think I'll try a different way. That's my story, 24 years old. This is interesting for some of you. I was baptized at 19, full immersion, full spikes on top of my head, full immersion. And at 24, I have an incredible Holy Spirit experience. It's like Acts. I hear the voice of God. Anybody else have that experience where you hear God's voice when you became a Christian? It's because my story is different from yours. See? It's not better. It's different. God says to me, you're not hot, you're not cold, you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. Oh, that woke me up. 24 years old, start following Jesus properly. And I've tried doing my thing, and my thing was miserable. So I'm going to devote myself to the teaching of Jesus. Have a go. I've decided. I'm going to devote myself to the poor. All the way through Scripture, there is this call on the people of God to be for those who have nothing. And one of the things we unpack often in the New Testament is it starts in this house. That the people in this place should be looking after the people in this place. Now, we do a fantastic job of making ourselves look like we have got plenty, don't we? How are you doing? I'm doing great. But for some of us, we're facing food poverty in this room. For some of us, we're facing stuff that half of us would not put up with. There's things that we need, but there's no money for it. Now, you might be sitting there going, well, I don't know who those people are. Well, I do. So stick the money in my back pocket, because I'll make sure they get it. And our care team does. Give us a wave, Helen. Helen does. Stick some money in her back pocket. She'll make sure the people get it. And our leadership team do. Give us a wave, leadership team. Four out of five is not bad. If you want to be part of this revolution, you need to decide. If you've got plenty, you need to give some of it away. If you've got plenty, you need to give some of it away. It is the Jesus way. It is the Jesus way. And we've had all sorts of stuff this morning, haven't we, for youth, for CAP, There's always need. You can't give to everything, but you can give to something. True? We need to decide to have fellowship. Have you ever heard that phrase, we've got lots in common? Funny phrase, isn't it? Just because you've got lots in common with somebody, doesn't mean you do anything in common with them. This is not a social club. And when it becomes a social club, we need to give ourselves a good slap and look out to the nation in which we are birthed into. What are we doing? But we can only be the hope of the world if there's hope in this place. We need to decide on the koinonia. It's a Greek word. It means fellowship. It means closeness. It means being together, being of one accord. If you're worried about coming to Barnsondale because people might talk to you, yeah, that is the deal. In fact, what a great day to come. Because there's people across the room from you, you think, and I have seen them here for a long time. I've never said more than hi. Don't even know their name. And we have that awful British thing, don't we, where we go, oh, I don't know the names, I can't speak to them. Because that's the law, right? Let's kill that. Let's be a fellowship that people come to and go, oh, I want to be with them. I want to go and join them. I'm a terrible social butterfly. I've got awful fear of missing out, awful FOMO. If I'm talking to you and I'm listening to a conversation out my ear over there, I'm thinking I want to be over there as well. I don't want to leave you. I'm loving what you're doing, but I want to talk to them as well. You might not be me. That's all right. But we need to decide to be part of this community. And that means to do some stuff. If you're part in this community, is listening to my sermons every week. I mean, I know they're brilliant, but it's not enough. In fact, it is not even the thing. The reason we preach is to set you out on your mission field when you walk through this door on a Sunday. That is the reason you come here, not to listen to my strange accent. If you've sat for a while because you've been hurt from church, great. It's great to be in a place of oasis. But for lots of you, your time's up. Get off your backside and do something. We've got some great things for you to get involved in. Choose one. Decide today. I've decided to be dedicated to breaking of bread. Really interesting in Acts, they use the phrase breaking bread and breaking the bread in the same passage. It seems like they're inviting each other round to their homes and eating together, and they are having communion together. If only every week we had a communion service that you could come to. If only, Kath. Hey? Come on, church. Dozen of us there this morning. And I know, you know, you don't need to give me the excuses. I know some of you have got people you look after. I know you've got kids and elderly relatives and other stuff going on. It's not about guilt. But if you haven't got the excuse, you need to decide. You need to decide, I am going to weigh in here and get stuck in to what God has got for me. I want to say to you, you don't have to come every week, but come on. We are here every week to pray. We've had a great time, haven't we, in Dirty Glory? And it's not the end. It's not the end. We are called to be a people of prayer. There's a few of our leadership team out in that awful weather yesterday, walking and praying for the neighborhood. And as we go forward with prayer, let me encourage you to engage with it. I had one of those Muslim prayer diaries on my desk all through Ramadan last year. I love funny details anyway, so it's great reading about the Fallujah tribe and their incredible hospitality. That might come up on Pointless one day, and I'll know it. See? But also you're praying for the people. What do you do about extremism? You become an extreme Christian. You start loving everybody, forgiving everybody, and praying for everybody. Whoa! What an opportunity for us this morning. I have decided. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, decide today. Decide today. You know, I know you've got loads of questions. And I have got loads of questions. And I know you've got doubt, and I have got doubt. Those things should not stop you. taken that first step. Because it is a first step. I know it's an overused phrase, but it is a journey. It is a relationship. It is a family. Come. Trust him. If you've been putting off baptism, stop it. The leadership team guys will put their hands up. They would love to talk to you this morning about getting baptized. So speak to one of them. Not speak to me, but speak to one of them. And we will put a date in the diary for you to be baptized. Because it is an amazing thing. It's not just a rule. It's not just something you have to do. It is an incredible, mystical, spiritual experience that will change your life. Go for it. Come on. And if you're hanging on to stuff and you know you need to bless somebody with some finance and you don't know who the person is, then have a chat to me. I can either point you towards them or you can just say, Nick, just sort that out for us. We can help each other by being community together, by standing together, by praying for each other, by being the hands and feet of Jesus, not just for each other, but for the community out there. I have decided that this will be my life. Have you? And if you say you have, prove it. What's God saying to you this morning? And what are you going to do about it? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for all that you've been saying to us this morning through worship, through word, through scripture. Lord, I pray today that we would see breakthrough. Lord, I pray we wouldn't make a decision and then let it flitter away as we leave, as we get on with the busyness of life. Lord, I pray that we would decide that you would go with us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.